The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129 presents Pathways of Learning. Here's your host, Sister Marie Pappas.
And today's guest is Alan Smith. Alan is owner and president of The Gas Man Limited, providing sales, service, and installation of gas burning equipment for 20 years and specializing in the installation of gas fireplaces, pool heaters, and patio campfires. I know you're probably scratching your head like, what are we talking about today? Mr. Smith is also the editor of Cries from the Cross, an anthology of Fulton J. Sheen. Besides being known as the Gas Man, Alan Smith is also known as the Sheen Machine, which explains today's conversation and what we're about to learn. Alan Smith is likewise a Catholic radio host, deputy grand knight in Midland, Canada, treasurer for the Archdiocese of Toronto, a member of the Sarah Club since 2011. Alan Smith is an active supporter of the Foundation of Prayer for Priests and is vice president of vocations in the Northern District of Canada. Clearly, this Canadian gas man is a very involved, zealous Catholic faith leader. So we have a lot to learn. Alan, welcome to Pathways of Learning.
Thank you, Sister Marie. My good wife always says I'm a Renaissance man and that I do a little bit of everything well. So that's how we can start. Again, it's nice to be able to. The good Lord has used me in lots of different.
Yes, and so what I saw on the website is you're pretty young, so I think you have many years ahead of you. To learn even more and to share more with us is pretty exciting to have a Renaissance man, so I'm going to take your wife's word for it on Pathways of Learning, because that's what we're about here. Mostly learning life's larger lessons, and you've got lots of those. So let's talk a bit about your exhaustive list of involvements in promoting the Catholic faith. You are executive director of the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Mission Society of Canada. You also host and produce Your Life is Worth Living. I'm going to guess that's a play on Fulton Sheen's work. So how did you get started as, quote, the Sheen Machine? Okay, we seem to have lost our guests. So let me just tell you a little bit while we see if we can get reconnected here. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened as I read this book, Cries from the Cross. So my first thought was Cries from the Cross. Gee, this is not the Lenten season, so I wonder why we're doing this particular book. And then I found out it's not really about the Lenten season, but more a focus on Fulton J. Sheen, who is a candidate for beatification and canonization. He has already been declared venerable. But I also learned from reading the book that Cries from the Cross and living the Paschal Mystery, as you know, I'm a Sister of the Resurrection, is not just for the Lenten season, that learning from the Passion of Christ is an everyday lesson. So now we have been reconnected with Alan Smith. So, Alan, I don't know if you caught the question that I was proposing for you, but among the exhaustive lists of your involvements in promoting the Catholic faith, you are executive director of the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Mission Society of Canada. You also host and produce Your Life is Worth Living. I'm guessing that is a playoff on Fulton Sheen's show. How did you get started as the Sheen Machine?
All right. It was a simple God incident that started it all. My good wife and I were dropping one of our daughters off to university, a small Catholic college up north in northern Ontario in Barry's Bay. And there in the library was some books that were being given away, kind of extras that the library didn't need anymore. And it was Sheen's book, Peace of Soul. and 1949, a bestseller. And my wife and I started to read that book together, and the very first lines in the book were simply, "Unless souls are saved, nothing is saved." And it's that, those words that really touched my heart. Unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. Fulton Sheen had my attention there back in 2009. And so I just started to read his books. I had a keen interest in them. First book I read was Victory Over Vice, a book he wrote in 1939. And that book is included in the anthology. But it was just this idea that Sheen somehow was touching my heart. He was engaging me in a conversation. He was engaging me in what I call a conversion, for many of us, a reversion, a reawakening of our faith. But I just thought, if he can be that good with just a few little books, just imagine if you start to listen to him and watch him. And so I'd been on the radio, and of course still on the radio for many years, and I have my own show, and I went to the producers of my station and said, could we replay some of Bishop Sheen's old recordings? And they're out and about, so you'll see them all over the internet. And we secured the rights to replay a number of his programs on air. And that was the launch of the Your Life is Worth Living radio broadcast that I started back in 2012. And again, very well received. And I'm on public radio. I'm not on a Catholic radio station. I'm on a secular station.
Wow.
Where I play rock and roll music. So in Canada, there's a little bit of a different setup here in that we really don't really have a Catholic network per se. Many Catholics will buy airtime on public radio stations and, of course, send the message out. So that's what we did. We raised some money and we bought some airtime. And every Monday evening, I went into the radio station at 7:30 and started to play a few of Sheen's old recordings. And the phone lines lit up. It was amazing, the response.
Wow.
People saying, oh, is he coming back into town? I saw him in 1975 at the stadium. And is he back? Is he coming into the area? So it was amazing, the response and the effect he has. Just speaking to all walks of life, not just Catholics, but everyone. So it still works today. Still works today. So.
Yeah, well, you definitely are doing more than your part to bring back his work to a wide audience. I see that you are all over the internet. Maybe you want to mention some of your websites and access to this material because you worked very hard to make it available. So why don't you share that with us?
Yeah. Yeah, as you mentioned, my day job, I'm the gas man. So I fix pipes for a living, stoves, dryers, barbecues. They call me the pipe padre because many people listen to me on the weekends on the radio, but they know me by day by the gas man. But my Bishop Sheen work that I do, the websites that people can find me and find information about Bishop Sheen, simply bishopsheentoday.com. And we name that appropriately because we need Bishop Sheen today. So bishopsheentoday.com is a website that has 100 YouTube videos. You can watch his old programs. There's, again, an archive of all the shows that I've done since 2012. So if you want to just listen and listen and listen to my voice and Bishop Sheen's voice, you can do that. And we have a section of downloadable pamphlets and books. There's a lot of Sheen's writings on the internet that are in digital libraries that are a public domain, and they can be downloaded at no cost and no risk of copyright infringement. So everything that's on that site has been pre-approved. So again, whether it's his written word, his spoken word, or his television shows, it's there on bishopsheentoday.com.
So you know what, Alan Smith, you have inspired me to, I think Peace of Soul is one of those works that you have there. I did download a couple of books last night, but now I want to pursue Peace of Soul. First of all, I'm just astounded how, I always say God works right straight with crooked lines, and this God incident that you referred to, I can't believe the depth of movement that happened in you by reading this one book, Peace of Soul, that it moved you so profoundly? Because I really don't know how you do it all, but I'm not going to question it because people say the same to me. But it really very passion for action. You weren't just moved in an emotional way, but it really made you act in a very broad, intense kind of commitment that you've made, a long-term commitment that I suspect you will always be involved in. So I myself now will pursue that book, Peace of Soul, just because if it moved you, I want to see what happens to me. And the line that you quoted is certainly one of those. And I think Bishop Sheen, whether intuitively or by his education, he was well educated in some of our top universities, both in this country and elsewhere. He certainly had a way with words. And not only does he communicate the truth, but he does it so artfully. And some of the pithiness of what he says is attention grabbing. So that would be one example of that.
Yes, yes. And I think what I find, and you mentioned about Sheen's pithy sayings, we mentioned it in the introduction of the book. Just we pre-warned everyone that there's going to be many times when you read a passage and you just have to put the book down because it just speaks to you so powerfully. And he has a way with words, as you said. He doesn't waste words. That's one thing I find about Sheen and his writings and even how he speaks. He doesn't waste time. He goes right to the point. He's very careful in how he delivers the address. He's very pastoral. I see in him, even all those years of being on the radio and on television, a very priestly, compassionate person who did care about everyone. And, of course, he just warmed up to them, of course, with his humor. And you just knew you could trust him. You could trust him.
Yeah, the humor certainly is a unique element in, you know, he passes on very serious and deep truth, and he does it with humor. So, yeah, I noticed that as I was watching some of his films. And, you know, when I was young, we didn't have television, so I did not see him in his day. But now, watching the films that have been preserved, it's interesting to see how he starts with that kind of engagement and humor that brings us to a deeper consideration, which he does so well. So, among the other things I'm preparing for our conversation today, I was surprised to learn that Fulton J. Sheen was baptized Peter John Sheen, because I've always known him as Fulton Sheen. And I kind of like the name Fulton. There's a distinction about the sound of the name. So then I learned, of course, that the family called him by his mother's maiden name, which was Fulton. So I guess it just stuck. And I don't know that he ever made it his legal name, but it certainly worked for the media presence that he had. Do you know how Fulton Sheen got involved in media evangelization? What was his start?
What I've read about his start was Fulton Sheen was, of course, ordained a priest in 1919. And then, you know, he served in a humble parish in Peoria. But he was so well educated that they had groomed him to, of course, be a professor at some university. But out of holy obedience, he had to just, you know, do what he was assigned to do. But his first break in broadcasting came when he was assigned as a professor at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. The Catholic Hour, the radio group, of course, had asked him to come up with a presentation each week. And this was only a short presentation. It was a half hour, even though it was the Catholic Hour. It was, again, a 30-minute presentation. And it was there that he started his craft, I say. It's, of course, he had lectured in universities even before that. But somehow he must have caught someone's attention to say he's a great orator, he has a great gift. And so it was in those early years in the 1930s, the early 30s, that he started coming onto the Catholic Hour to do what we know and love, preach Christ.
But at that time, was it unthinkable for priests or clerics to be so high profile in media? I mean, now it's ordinary, but back then, was it not?
I think it was understood, from what I understand about the history of radio, is that the stations, NBC, ABC, the radio broadcasters of the time, had a fair policy where they allowed the Lutherans to have their hour, the Catholics to have their hour, the Jews to have their time. So it was common to have religious broadcast on the radio from different denominations because there was the spirit of fairness, and the organizers of the radio station, you know, had a set of rules in place to say, now, don't fight. Be charitable to one another. And so listening to religious programming was quite normal, to sort of have, you know, a great pastor give a presentation on the Lutheran Hour and then followed up by, you know, Monsignor Sheen on the Catholic Hour. It was normal. I think people, back then, radio was it. There was no television. So they were looking for their catechesis, per se, to be given on the radio for many people. So, and that's what Sheen did so very well, was he was giving week in and week out a catechesis that he developed, you know, through his, I guess, a genius. Mm-hmm. In that.
Well, but he, you have to admit, I mean, he had all of the education, but he also is gifted with a particular charism that I think would stand out. I don't know, maybe some of the other personalities were equally charismatic from the other denominations, but he's strikingly charismatic.
Yeah, I think he was convincing, and he used the scriptures so well that you couldn't argue him. You couldn't refute him. It wasn't like he was just saying, this is my idea. And no, he kept pointing to scripture, you know, time and time again. And that's why I think everyone appreciated him, both Protestants and Catholics alike, because of his use of scripture. He was constantly quoting the Bible and bringing people's attention to Christ through the scriptures.
Yes, but he did. It wasn't only that he did use references to scripture, which, of course, gave authority to what he was saying. But I see he also naturally made good use of analogy and really powerful analogy that kind of kept an image and a truth in your mind. So he used it in conjunction with other skills. The other thing I notice about him is his effective use of pause. And it gave that drama to what he was saying. Like you hung, like I was watching a few of the films last night. So you hung waiting, okay, now what comes next? And so he, and this just may be his giftedness, that he just intuitively incorporated all of this in his presentation of the faith. And as we all know, very powerful and effective. So Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen won an Emmy Award. I mean, I found two different dates, but they're both next to each other in either 1952 or 1953 as the most outstanding television personality. And among his memorable statements, Fulton Sheen said, quote, "There are not 100 people in the United States who hate the Catholic Church, but there are millions who hate what they wrongly perceive the Catholic Church to be." So how true is that today in our time?
Very true, very true. And what I think Sheen did so well, too, is he not only made that comment, but I remember on one of his radio broadcasts, he actually had a great sense of charity to everyone in that he almost would say to them, you know, I would be just as angry towards the church if I was told the half-truths and the, you know, the commentaries. Like he almost was pleading for everyone to have mercy on people, that it's just that they were, you know, I want to say lied to or given some misinformation. But he would temper that and just say, you know what, I would be the same. I would be just as angry if I was taught that. And so he, with great charity, he clarified that on his radio addresses, but also in his books. So he, you know, I think it really does. It's a powerful, powerful statement to think there's only 100 people in America who hate the Catholic Church, but there's millions who hate what they think the Catholic Church is. And Fulton Sheen took the time to clarify with everyone. I think it's, he spoke with great clarity and charity, and he would dispel many of the myths that people believed to be true about the Catholic Church.
So I wonder how much assistance he had in putting his either radio programs or television program together. Did he have a team of advisors? Did he run things by his brother priests and say, what do you think? Was there some input from outside that helped him to be so excellent in what he was doing? Or was that all Fulton Sheen?
Well, it was the Holy Spirit. It was really his strength was from the Eucharist and his holy hour. Many people who have studied the life of Fulton Sheen know of his great devotion to spending an hour with the Blessed Sacrament, being quiet at some times and then speaking at other times. But he took a lot of his inspiration from what he received in his quiet prayer time in his chapel when he was doing his holy hour. And it was said, he mentioned this many times, he says, for every minute that I speak on television, I almost need to speak, have an hour with the Lord for him to instruct me. But he received his inspirations, of course, in the Adoration Chapel, in that quiet time. And he was constantly working in front of the Lord, you know, in the Blessed Sacrament. And, you know, he said in his acceptance speech when he received his Emmy, he wanted to thank his writers, Matthew, Mark,
yes,
John.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So it was the combination of the scriptures and receiving these holy inspirations from our Lord directly with his 62 years of continuously every day having a holy hour. He was faithful to his holy hour. And so I would attribute, his wisdom and great insight to three things: his holy hour, his love for scripture, and his sacramental grace that was given to him as a priest in his religious orders, the sacramental grace that we don't really think of sometimes. We think of, you know, the sacrament of baptism and confirmation, but there's this grace that comes from holy orders.
I would imagine tremendous grace that comes from faithfully living and receiving that the sacrament of holy orders. The only thing, you're the one who made me aware of it in your anthology that you put together, Cries from the Cross. I would also credit his devotion and love for Our Lady, because you make that very clear in this anthology. He had a special closeness to the Mother of Christ, and I would imagine that she herself guided him in his efforts to make her Son known. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I mean, one of the, you know, reasons to write the book was that so people would have a greater appreciation for Christ, his Blessed Mother, and the Church.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, throughout the book, he continues to make reference to her. And of course, one of the books contained in the anthology is the book he wrote in 1945 entitled The Seven Words of Jesus and Mary, where he truly shows the reader just the great unity between the two, that she is united to him, but where he suffered, she suffered. Where she experienced joy, he experienced joy. So it's amazing how he clarified, again, the Church's position on Mary. And again, he had to correct people and say, you know, the Catholic Church doesn't teach, we don't teach that we worship Mary, we venerate her, you know. And again, he was very good at defending her, but encouraging people to go to her. And just think of so many great lines he would say, you know, if you've never before prayed to Mary, do so now. Can you not see that if Christ himself willed to be physically formed in her for 9 months and then be spiritually formed by her for 30 years, it is to her that we must go to learn how to have Christ formed in us. Only she who raised Christ can raise a Christian. But he pleaded with us to go to her and to spend time with her and to fall in love with her as You know, you imagine if he came again, he'd ask that question. How did you treat my mother? I'd be a little bit worried sometimes about the answer that a lot of us would have to give.
Well, you know, I can honestly say when I was very young and I joined our community when I was 14 years old. And soon after, a very dear friend of mine who had come from a different parish, we didn't know each other before we entered, she had been schooled to make an act of consecration to Our Lady. So in my first year in community, she taught me how to make that act of consecration. So to her, I owe my own devotion to Our Lady and allowing her to mother me as well. So let's look a little bit. You mentioned some of the structure of your book. So let's look a little bit at your book, Cries from the Cross. It's been arranged into seven chapters, and each chapter addresses one of the seven last words spoken by Jesus on the cross. And each chapter includes a passage from each of the seven books written by Fulton Sheen between the years 1933 to 1945. So I see that, and you mentioned in your work, that the Passion of Jesus was a favorite topic and reflection of Archbishop Sheen, and that's very obvious. And could this be because he had many reasons to identify with the suffering of Christ? Now, I'm going to quote a section of your book. On the day Archbishop Sheen died, December 9th, 1979, he was found in his private chapel before the Eucharist in the shadow of the cross. Archbishop Sheen was a man purified in the fires of love and by the wood of the cross, end quote. My sense is that he suffered. I mean, we know him for his popularity and effectiveness as a media personality, but behind the scenes, it seems to me, he suffered. Am I right?
Correct. He did suffer physically, emotionally, and he endured a great deal and always united it to Christ and always looked to the cross to know there's the example. You want to be misunderstood? Look to Christ. He was misunderstood. You want to experience physical pain? Look to Christ. He experienced physical pain. Again, always drawing strength from our Lord and his passion. And this is what Sheen, I think he trained himself. I think he, want to say he was a great student of the cross.
Yes, and my sense too.
I mean, the book, the first quote I gave was from St. Thomas Aquinas, which, of course, was one of Fulton Sheen's favorite saints. And St. Thomas Aquinas said, I have learned more from the crucifix than from any book. Mm-hmm. We've learned more from the crucifix than any book. And I think Sheen just spoke volumes about, you know, just presenting Christ crucified, this passion. As you mentioned, sister, he, you know, for 58 years, he gave presentations on the seven last words and our Lord's passion. So, you know, 62 years of consecutive holy hours and 58 years of consistently preaching Christ and him crucified. So there was a lot to be learned from the cross, and he wanted to share that with us. And that's why so many books that he penned on the topic of the seven last words, but he veiled them so beautifully with a different theme. And that was his gift. He didn't give the same homily year after year after year. He gave the same core message, but with always a nuance.
Yeah, a deeper reflection coming at it from a different... Yeah, I saw that. And that's what made me think that his own living of the Paschal Mystery was a frame of reference by which he taught us. And I think it rang true because it was true. He was living what he was teaching us.
Yeah. One thing that people might be astounded with is that he had a 5-foot-tall crucifix at the foot of his bed. And so every morning he would wake up and the first thing he would see would be this large crucifix at the foot of his bed. And every night when he went to sleep, he would, of course, see the crucifix. So just that imagery, you know, Fulton Sheen said, he said, you know, you can have a statue of a Buddha, you can have a nice garden, but put a cross on your desk for 3 days.
Yes.
And it will change you. It will change you. And to always have the crucifix before you, it does remind you of God's great love for us, that he sent his son to die on the cross for us.
And I'm glad you're mentioning that, because when I read it, we just completed last week a visitation from our general superior, came from Rome. And one of the gifts she brought for each of us was this small crucifix for the desk. You know, it's stand up. And I read this in your book and said to myself, oh, I should put it on my desk. And now you're reminding me, because I had the thought, but I didn't follow through. So maybe now I will. Alan Smith, also known as the Sheen Machine, is our teacher today. He's discussing Cries from the Cross, an anthology of writings by Fulton J. Sheen. We're learning life lessons about our salvation through the voice of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. It's a lesson of faith on Pathways of Learning today, the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
A little boy was presented one day by his father with one of these puzzle pictures. It was a map of the world, and it was cut up into perhaps 100 or more pieces. And the boy, with surprising alacrity, put it together. And the father said, how did you put it together so quickly? Well, the little boy said, on the other side was a picture of a man. And I put the man together, and the world came out all right.
You are listening to the voice of the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And Alan Smith, known as the Sheen Machine, is our guest today. He's discussing the writings of Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen and the lessons to be learned for our time. So, Alan, do you think the person of Christ and the significance of his suffering and saving death gets lost or de-emphasized in our efforts to foster the Catholic faith today? I just want you to know that during the break, I saw that we had the crucifix that's been in our studio since the inception of the Catholic Channel, and so we made sure it's front and center, Jake and I here in the studio, and that is the result of our conversation. So, speaking of today and the suffering and saving death of Jesus, lost, de-emphasized in our times, and obviously then Fulton Sheen definitely has something to teach us today.
Absolutely. There is a battle that is raging in the world. There's many battles, but it's the battle over the cross. And to you think of, you know, the war that is going on in office buildings, schools, they all want to take down the cross. They want to remove it from the landscape, period, because it just convicts and reminds us of a great act of love. And it also reminds us that sin costs, that our Lord went to the cross because of our sin. So it convicts people. And so there is this battle that continues to rage of getting rid of the cross. They want a crossless Christ and a Christless cross. I mean, it's one of the terms he uses in the book. You know, they want a cross without Christ. They just don't want this this reminder. It disturbs many people, and so naturally, you always think of the spiritual battle that rages on. Satan would love to get rid of this reminder of his greatest defeat. His greatest defeat. And so, again, this war of the cross being removed, and this is, of course, why we want to renew this conversation that our Lord is speaking to us from the cross, the cries that he put out over to the world 2,000 years ago that continue to ring in our ears today, but yet the world would love to drown out that message and remove it from the face of the earth.
So is Fulton Sheen then a prelate who speaks effectively or effectively enough for the many challenges of our times? So while we may be resistant to having even a crash, never mind the cross, at least here in the States, in the public. We certainly have images of such suffering in our times. You know, the 11 Jewish people in their own place of worship who were so violently killed, concern about the safety in all places of faith now. And we just read this morning that they're going to be offering grants to help defend and protect places of worship. So there's great suffering in our times. There's great violence in our times. There's great sin in our times. Is Fulton Sheen the one to address these challenges of our times? You're much more familiar with his work and his words than I am. So what is your commentary as relates to what is happening in our times?
I think what Fulton Sheen loved to do, you know, in the many years that he was on radio and television and writing books, was to keep the conversation going. He wanted to continue to challenge us to turn our thoughts inwardly, to look into our own souls and to unite ourselves to Christ. And I think when you look at how his lessons evolve, and especially in this anthology, he goes through a process. I'd like to say he wants to have this long conversation with us where he wants to work on different areas, and that's why 1 year he referenced the Beatitudes and how he showed how the Beatitudes can be this guide to us to live a good life, to find peace. But also that our Lord represented the Beatitudes so beautifully in his meekness and his poverty of spirit and being a peacemaker. And then he would almost send us on our way and then come back a year later and say, let's talk about this again and talk about it in reference to sorrow and suffering and pain. And this is what he spoke of in that year. And then he sends us off again and then brings us back to another conversation towards the cross and talks about our sin, the seven deadly sins of lust and anger and greed and gluttony. And then as a good priest sends us off again and then we come back. And he then presents the virtues to us of fortitude, hope, prudence, faith, temperance to help us to combat, you know, our own demons or our challenges. So you can see he wants to continue to say, I want to keep talking. I want to help you to grow. I want to challenge you. And again, I think this is why we just kept coming back, because he's saying, you know, are you there yet? Are you there yet? And we know in our faith journey, we're always not there yet.
How true that is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how right he is as a catechist, a master catechist, to make sure that the faith informs our living. And so to continue to revisit it and to ask, okay, now let's look at this. Let's look at this. And time has gone on. So how are we doing here? And that's the way in which we grow toward holiness, is by the constant revisiting, reminding, going deeper, to use the words of St. John Paul II. But is Fulton J. Sheen a saint for our times, or does this remain to be seen? Because I see on one of your websites that there's an official letter indicating that the cause of Fulton Sheen's beatification and canonization has been halted. So are you free to talk about this, or are you also
absolutely
in the dark?
No, I try to put it in layman's term. You know, I'm a man of trade, so sometimes we just, like people say, just explain it simply to me. Don't get too much into the canonical, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But I just say to people who try to understand the canonization process, it's a simple step-by-step-by-step process that, you know, in 2002, Bishop Jenke, the Bishop of Peoria, went to Rome and opened up the files, per se, and said, we'd like this to begin. And then the Vatican says, now send us documents, send us, you know, all of his writings, his videos, and we'll examine them. Send us letters of testimony. Send us everything you can on Fulton Sheen. And so 10 years later, Pope Benedict XVI then declared Sheen a venerable, to basically say that his writings have been approved, he's worthy of imitation, he is a holy man. And then they say, now present to us miracles. Is it the next step? And so the miracle that was presented of the young child that was born and was dead for 61 minutes and had multiple interventions to try to resuscitate him, but when the doctor was about to write the death certificate, this child came back to life. That medical, yeah, it's amazing. That medical miracle was approved by the Vatican. And there's seven medical doctors on that panel. And so with their diligence, they went through everything and they declared that this is a miracle. And so the miracle was declared. And then the theologians have to then just give their stamp of approval, and that was done. And so the last component is then to exhume the body and to have some relics be made available. And they have to identify that that is Fulton Sheen, open the casket up and say that's exactly the person that we remember that we buried in 1979. And so it's that process that was then, there was a blockage, a stop. And so the cause was suspended because canonically, we couldn't move forward. There was an obstacle in our way. And that has been noted in the media now. Of course, the fighting over his mortal remains, of them being released and transferred to Peoria, because Peoria has started the cause and is in charge. And so Bishop Jahnke, in his wisdom, said, until this impasse is dealt with, we have to suspend the cause. And so now it's in what we call the category of historical archives. So it's there, it's still present, but of course the cause isn't active until that can be resolved. And the courts have, declared or twice now ruled in favor of the body going back to Peoria. And it makes sense, of course, that he comes home. I mean, I think of his history as a priest. He was always a parish priest of the Diocese of Peoria and spent all those years teaching, but always affiliated to Peoria, and coming back every year. But again, it was something that had to be, suspended because of the impasse. And,
well, good. I'm glad I clarified that because, of course, I had wonderings about what that was about. And I also read, and you haven't mentioned this, so I'd like to make sure I'm reading it correctly, that he has a living relative who apparently has some rights over Fulton Sheen's body, and that she has, in fact, given her approval to have the body brought back to Peoria.
Oh, yeah, and she is the one that has been petitioning the courts. She was making a simple request to the Diocese of New York since 2014, but when the requests weren't being fulfilled, because it was a simple internment move. I work at a cemetery. I'm a part-time.
You do that too? Unbelievable.
I don't always tell people that one of my part-time jobs is working at the local Catholic cemetery. And so moving bodies is a process that happens not so regular basis, but it does happen. And so it's a request to remove his physical remains from the cemetery that is in below the altar at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And it is technically a cemetery where there's graves there. But of course, they're beautiful in the sense they're just lined up nicely with all the various cardinals and bishops that have served. But to request the body be transferred. So that request was made, and when it was denied, then the courts had to be petitioned. And so the family member had gone to the courts to say, they don't seem to be responding to my request. Now I have to have the courts help me have the body transferred to Peoria. So the family member does have the right. And I think even when we look at other saints, we think of St. Gianna Mola. Mm-hmm. And when they're surviving, of course, family members, the husband, when she was about to be declared blessed, the Vatican had to ask permission to say, can we do this?
Well, actually, I'm actually pleased to hear that it's something like this that has halted the process. So it's making me feel like, wow, this is far more hopeful than I thought. I thought something more serious had interfered with the process going forward, nor did I realize that the church has declared a miracle. So then the possibility of a beatification with the, a miracle declared is I would think, almost imminent. So, yeah, and I understand. So that last piece is the access to relics, first-class relics. And so, oh, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Now I get it. Alan Smith is giving us a Canadian perspective on the life and writings of Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. Perhaps we will live to see this modern Catholic leader and Emmy Award-winning media personality named a saint in our times and for our times. This is Sister Marie Pappas with Alan Smith, the Sheen Machine, on Pathways of Learning, the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Man is bigger than the universe because he can get the heavens into his head, which means that he's only got one job left, to get his head into the heavens. And then, something else that proves that man is different from an animal.
You're listening to the voice of Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. And today, Alan Smith from Canada is helping us learn a bit more about Fulton Sheen, his life, and his legacy. So, Alan, let's explore a bit of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen's writings in Cries from the Cross, an anthology of Fulton J. Sheen. You compile this anthology, so what do you want to highlight from the collection? What was it that moved you, or would you like to the listeners to attend to when they pick up the book?
Right. The intention is to, of course, as I said before, bring souls closer to Christ, a greater appreciation of the Blessed Mother, and appreciation of the Church. But the book itself can be read three ways, simply as a retreat book where you would spend time with one word and read seven different meditations of Sheen's writings explaining that one word. For example, I thirst. He would look at it seven different ways. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So you can read it as a retreat-style book, just reading, taking time to read each chapter. Or you could read the book if you wanted to read all seven books that are contained. You could read it in a way, so for example, you read the fourth meditation from each chapter, you would have read the book Victory Over Vice. So if you're thinking you want to meditate on sin and how to recover and antidote for sin, you would read the fourth meditation from each chapter. Or if you wanted to go closer to Our Lady, you would read the seventh meditation, which would be the book, The Seven Words of Jesus and Mary. So there's that way to read the book if you wanted to read just book after book after book. Or you could read it just as an inspiration book. Many people just open it up and just read one passage here or one passage there. They use it as a Lectio Divina. And so there's something for everyone. It really is. It can be used, I say, three different ways. But when you have this treasury of this anthology, these seven different books, it's a book that every Catholic home should have. It's one of those keepsakes because we always need to meditate on the Passion and our Lord's great love for us. So, again, I don't know if that explains it in a nutshell. I know we don't have...
No, that sounds great, but you're very familiar with his writings. So I'm wondering if you can suggest one of his works for the Advent season, because that will come before the Lenten season.
Oh, okay. Well, there's been many beautiful books that are out on the market. Advent Meditations with Fulton Sheen, of course, his Christmas inspirations. These are books that are out there. So really, I think a number of those books, I can't always list you publishers and titles off the top of my head. But if you just search, or Google search Bishop Sheen Advent or Bishop Sheen Christmas.
Ah, that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
And then we can sort through. And like you said, you have so many posted, so we can kind of walk through that as well. So have Alan, have you been involved at all in the cause for canonization? I mean, is the context of the sex abuse scandals by priests and now even bishops and a cardinal, is this going to be an obstacle in promoting the cause of this modern bishop? Or, in fact, is it providential that we can raise up a saintly bishop in the midst of this crisis?
Yeah, I think when you study the testimonies that were given of Fulton Sheen, his holiness, and again in the positio, which is the position paper presented to the Vatican, there are hundreds of letters of recommendation that speak to Sheen's sanctity. You never ever hear a story that speaks ill of him as his moral character. He was a very holy man. So, and you read his writings again in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. They're all, again, it's very clear. There's not, I don't think there's a blemish there at all. There was jealousy, of course. Many people were jealous of him. Mm-hmm. But I think his character and how he conducted himself, we will not see anything come out of the woodwork here. I think he's at this point of being declared a saint because of the scrutinies and the observations people have made, is that I think we will smile and know that there is no blemish here, that this is a thing. And, of course, Sheen was very humble. He was humble in his autobiography when he wrote about his pride and being sometimes loving the comforts. But still, I think Sheen, in his honesty, made it very clear. And I think when we watched his suffering, how he suffered physically and emotionally, we, of course, just know that he was purified by divine love, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program.
Alan Smith, I'd love to talk to you longer, but we're reaching the top of the hour. So thank you for joining us today on this Catholic Hour of Pathways of Learning as we explore the life and teachings of Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. I was really challenged as we considered Archbishop Sheen's teachings in the context of our time, and I'm glad you've made so much learning available for us on your websites. So listeners and learners, until we meet again next week, may we all find ourselves in God's loving embrace. God bless.